You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. Influence operations reported in the UK and in Europe. Third-party social media apps increase your attack surface. Petya ransomware is stolen and improved by rival crooks. Google purges bad apps from the Play Store. A convicted leaker offers some unexpected wisdom for prospective whistleblowers. Lawyers can't figure out the GDPR. The US is said to be ready to indict 4 for the Yahoo breaches. And we bid a respectful farewell to Becky Bass, one of our industry's thought leaders. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, March 15, 2017. The UK continues to worry about Russian influence operations targeting upcoming elections. In an odd, possibly related development, Russia's embassy to the UK is said to have been converting its Twitter followers into news bots ready to disseminate the Moscow line. But the big Twitter story this week has been the use of a common third-party app to hijack some high-profile Twitter accounts to spread a variety of messages running to Nazi symbolism and especially pro-Turkish messages in support of the Erdogan government and in opposition to several European states, notably the Netherlands and Germany. The enabling vulnerability the hijackers exploited was in the third-party Twitter Counter app. As its name suggests, Twitter Counter is used for keeping track of a Twitter account's followers, but it did so at the cost of some pretty extensive permissions. Twitter Counter requested both read and write access to your account in order to tote up your followers. Why it asked for write access is unclear, but one of its victims, security expert Graham Cluley, speculates that the app's intent was to facilitate some self-promotion. In any case, Twitter Counter has blocked its own ability to write, which the company believes should take care of the issue. The campaign was crude and implausible, but probably had some effect. Many of the tweets featured a swastika, with the words Nazi Holland or Nazi Germany as appropriate, usually displayed alongside a Turkish flag. It's unlikely, to say the least, that Amnesty International would be tweeting swastikas. Did we mention that the effort was crude? The campaign's intent appears to be the discrediting of EU states' preparations to tighten restrictions on guest workers and other immigrants, and to support demonstrations by Turks resident in those countries. We heard from several security companies about this third-party Twitter hack. It's worth looking to the security of your social media accounts. R.J. Gazarek of privileged account management shop Thycotic thinks we'll see more hijacking like this. Social media accounts provide a high-profile way of getting a message out, and as cyber operations increasingly serve influence operations, attackers will devote more attention to account hijacking. Nathan Wensler of Aztec noted that the incident shows a typical attack sequence. Start with a vulnerable app, then pivot into your ultimate objective. He advises reviewing the applications you've connected to your Twitter account and removing anything you don't use, and especially anything you don't trust. And of course, keep an eye on your Twitter timeline to see what's showing up there. The messaging was generally aligned with Turkish government policy, but whether it was a state-directed attack, a state-inspired attack, or patriotic hacktivism isn't immediately clear. There's also news from the criminal world, courtesy of researchers at Kaspersky Lab. The code for Petya ransomware, a strain of malicious code that's long been familiar, has been stolen and improved by a rival gang. The new variant is circulating as a Trojan called PyotrWrap, which installs Petya on machines in enterprise networks and then modifies the malware on the fly to suit its purposes. The emergence of PyotrWrap is being taken as a sign of increasing competition among criminal gangs. Signatures for the new ransomware are being developed, but as Matt Kingswood of the managed service provider IT Specialists told us, there's no fail-safe way of recognizing and preventing ransomware. Your best bet is regular, secure backup. ESET found some 13 malicious Android apps designed to steal user credentials and pay card information. They notified Google, which has purged the bad apps from the walled garden of the Play Store. Yesterday was Patch Tuesday. Microsoft issued 18 bulletins, 9 critical. It also has continued to issue its patches in their old familiar form. Redmond evidently will delay the promised new style of patching for at least another month. Adobe has also fixed 7 issues in its Flash player. When a private company discovers they've been hit by a cyber attack, there's often an understandable desire to publicly name the attacker. That's known as private sector attribution. Justin Harvey is Managing Director of Incident Response and Threat Hunting at Accenture Security, and he wonders if it's time to stop bothering with private sector attribution.
It's really difficult when you are working these investigations to have empirical evidence or have forensically sound evidence that someone has done something to you. There's the internet saying, on the internet, no one knows you're a dog. Mm. And in this case, for attribution, there's no way to empirically or forensically prove you're a dog or not, meaning a company thinks that a nation state or a criminal entity has attacked them based upon the malware, based upon their tactics, based upon what they were looking for or the searches. But you have to remember, all of those can be imitated. Most digital information can be reproduced in such a way that it could appear that it is that adversary, but it's actually another adversary masquerading as that entity or party.
What about the notion that there's something to be gained by naming and shaming?
That hasn't worked to date. I mean, we've seen that with President Obama naming and shaming and indicting Chinese PLA officers. We've seen President Obama publicly accuse certain nation states of cyber espionage, but nothing really moved the needle on that until he confronted President Xi Jinping in person about it in September 2 years ago. Because there's been so much talk about attribution, and I'd like to point to some of the cases last year around the election where you have a case where there are the yes sayers, or you have the accusers, and then you have the naysayers. And the naysayers, whether they were right or wrong, brought up very interesting scenarios around false flag operations, essentially masquerading your operations to lay the blame on someone else. And because there's been so much awareness around this, I think that nation states and adversaries out there are going to take advantage of this, and you're going to find false flag operations to be the norm. Because as an adversary, why would you create malware and compile it in your own time zone and have your own natural language? It's very easy to compile it in a different time zone and insert some Cyrillic or Chinese characters, and then voila, now you're this other adversary. And with the proliferation of malware as a service and malware toolkits you can buy off the web, you can take that one step further. So I would look to that to be one of the signs of essentially the cyber landscape or the cyber field of battle is changing with the sign of the times.
That's Justin Harvey from Accenture Security. In the UK, attorneys aren't sure whether the GDPR is legally binding already, in advance of its formal implementation next year. In a breaking story, the U.S. Justice Department is said to be preparing indictments of four individuals in connection with the Yahoo breaches, especially the loss of data for 500 million accounts in 2014. One of the hackers is said to be resident in Canada, the other three are thought to be in Russia. And in even more recently breaking news, Russian authorities are said to have charged at least one of the three who are in that country with treason. They say he was spying for the Americans. The Vault 7 story is still developing, but there's little new today. Wired does have an interview on leaks, however, with former CIA whistleblower and convicted leaker, John Kirikou, about whistleblowing. His surprising advice to prospective leakers? Don't go directly to the media. Take the matter up with your chain of command first, then lawyer up. And finally, we close on a sad note. Our friend Becky Bass passed away yesterday. We offer our condolences to her family. Becky was not only a researcher of distinction, but a friend and mentor to many information security professionals. She'll be missed. We've lost a founding figure.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Emily Wilson. She's the Director of Analysis for Terbium Labs. Emily, we had the recent CloudBleed breach, which certainly gathered a lot of attention in the press and elsewhere. This sort of thing causes a bunch of activity on the dark web when these sorts of things happen.
Yeah, I think plenty of people are quick to piggyback on whatever the latest thing in the headlines is, right? Mm. Whether it was something like the LinkedIn breach or, now we're seeing with CloudBleed, I know of vendors claiming to have something like 150 million credentials for these sites that are impacted by CloudBleed. But conveniently, somehow, in that set of credentials are sites that weren't impacted at all, like Netflix.
Hmm. So they're using the notoriety of the breach to sell unrelated goods.
I think one of the things to keep in mind is that people who are looking for the latest set of whatever credentials are going to be looking for the same key terms that we would think of in terms of what's new, right? Like what's out there. And people are curious what other vendors have for sale.
And some of the credentials that have shown up in this particular breach have already been available, have already been for sale.
Sure. I mean, I think we're all waiting to see just how big of an impact this breach is going to have in terms of credentials and kind of what gets leaked. But yeah, definitely some of the names that are in this breach, I mean, you know, not these credentials if these credentials are available, but definitely these companies have had issues in the past and there are plenty of credentials for sale. And now we're hearing a new interest because this breach is new and people suddenly care about it. But didn't seem to be all that interesting to people before with these listings that have been up for months or years in some cases.
All right. So even on the dark web, buyer beware.
Yeah. No, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
All right, Emily Wilson, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire Daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.
And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.